And away we go. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Along with John on the other side of the glass, we welcome you to the Buckmaster program. Boy, it is a hot day out there. And, oh, I would feel better if I saw some big clouds out there to go along with, well, maybe if we got some rain, it would moderate these temperatures. It's Monday, July 11th, 2022. We're in our 12th year on the radio, 34th year here in television and radio land in Tucson. The Buckmaster Show broadcasts from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our radio station, 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented when we do our telephone interviews, which will be the case at the bottom of the hour. All of our phone line interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. But every Monday, we start off our program with our Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. In other words, Moe will come out to your home and place your item on the wall the way you want it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com. All right, our team of commentators today, we welcome a new commentator with us to the program, Chris Ackerley, former state lawmaker and now chief deputy treasurer in the Pima County Treasurer's Office. Chris also is a former, I think you were saying, Chris, 20 years? 22 years as a math and physics teacher. Recently retired from education. Also with us today, we welcome Chris to the program. Your first time on the Face-Off.
Thank you for having me.
Bonnie Heidler is with us. Bonnie is the chairwoman of the Democratic Party of Pima County. Bonnie, how was your weekend? What did you do to stay cool?
Oh, stayed in to stay cool.
But I mean, it's such a busy time, Bonnie and Chris. We had the second mock election to see how we were getting everything tuned up. Bonnie, how did it go?
So far, I haven't heard that it hadn't gone well. It seems to have gone well. And, you know, early voting has started. So we'll see how everything goes.
And Chris, what did you hear about the mock election?
I obviously heard a lot of issues with the first mock election, but I haven't heard any real uproar about the second go round. But I am still very, very skeptical and leery that everything's going to work out just absolutely smoothly over the next month, and then culminating in November.
Did they get the printers in?
I don't know.
That had been a huge issue. I mean, there were like, I think, 250 printers that we were waiting on.
And what sort of concerns me about the whole process of going to those e-books and printing those ballots right there locally is that, you know, when you went in and you looked at the poll book there, right? If there was a minor mistake that you could see right there on the page, like somebody transposed a letter in your name, right, or you know, a digit here or there, you could see it right there on the page. The problem with the technology is if the query doesn't exactly match, right, the thing, there's no real way to easily see that right there. You have to spend some more time searching, and then there's a possibility that you might never find it. And that to me, that gives me cause for concern.
Well, I wouldn't be too concerned, since this technology has been in every county except Pima.
It's been around a while.
Yeah, and one other. But yeah, it's been around a while. It's been tested. It's been used. And we had the most secure elections that we have had in 2020 with the, you know, especially up in Maricopa County, they've been using it. And there doesn't seem to be any issues as to what you're saying.
Well, I would take umbrage with the fact that the 2020 election was the most secure. But putting that aside, and I think one of the other issues, though, that this proposes, though, is you take a look at especially look at the district that I used to represent that encompasses all of the Green Valley and Sarita area. Those folks have been voting at the same church for decades and decades, and now that's not going to be the case.
And they like to vote the day of the election.
And they like to vote the day of the election.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think it's going to cause some consternation.
But it is a small, maybe this will help, that it's a small percentage of people who will go to the polls on election
day. Yeah, but you go back to that. And you know, but the reality is the process should be transparent and work for everybody. And that's a key thing. So you look at this. So I noticed in the paper that I think it was a school board member who got caught harvesting ballots.
Over in Yuma County?
Over in Yuma County. I think it was a school board member. And you say, well, it was only four, right? That didn't really change anything. It doesn't really change anything. But the point is that it doesn't inspire confidence in the whole system, right? Because, okay, it was four and she got caught. The problem is that you look at the system as a whole is how many of those mistakes, or in this case, outright stuff, doesn't get caught because you can't see the whole system. You can't go into your familiar voting place and look at your name on a poll book and say, I'm voting here. So I think we have some real work to do to inspire confidence in elections.
Yeah, but as I said, this isn't new to do it this way. And it may, in fact, be easier for people to be able to vote because let's say they can't get off work, as an example. But there's a polling center right near, you know, voting center right
across
near them.
Across the street, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, maybe across the street. Maybe next door. You don't even know. To make it easier for them. We want to make voting accessible for all. And I believe that the vote centers are a step in that direction to make it accessible for all.
Well, I think, even though, you know, I vote at the polls and have.
Have you ever voted early?
Only mail-in elections at the municipal level, but as far as
you're a traditionalist.
I'm a traditionalist.
You like to go.
Voter. I want to go. I want to see how the poll's working. I want to do it. And I get that, and I understand that. But at some point, there has to be some guardrails in place, right? And to that issue of convenience stuff, I mean, we do have early mail-in voting in Arizona. So if that becomes an issue, you can take care of it very easily through the mail.
But I believe the Republicans try to change that by...
And do away with
and
early
do away
voting.
With it. Well, by mail. That's one of the things that they tried, where you will now fall off the list under certain situations, and people don't even know that. Some of them don't even know that they're going to fall off the list. So that's a problem.
I understand that there are some problems with mail-in voting. And, you know, when
would you personally have liked to have seen it gone away, mail-in voting?
Personally?
Yeah.
Personally, I think that voting is a right. Mm-hmm. And a responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I think that I don't want to say mail-in voting trivializes it, but in doing away with a lot of the process, I think in some ways it does. I think voting should be, it is something that makes us, you know, who we are. And I think we should celebrate it and encourage it, and we should make an event out of it.
Then so why do
you're
want
really
the,
old school in that
I
way.
I am.
Yeah, but then why do the Republicans want to make sure people can't vote?
I don't think they wish to make sure that any legitimate voter can vote.
I believe that is exactly what's happening, is that they're trying to make it more difficult. And who does it impact the most? Low-income people who cannot get off work to vote. Who may have to, you know, travel long distances. Let's look at, you know, Lathana Otham. how far between there can be. It could be 2 hours away.
What about disabled people? What are they supposed to?
Disabled people? I mean, we could go on and on.
Well, I take a little bit of issue with the fact that Republicans are trying to make it so that people can't vote. I think there's two big issues. One is ID, right? And I firmly believe that everybody who votes should identify themselves, right? And the second part of it is that there is, as we mentioned with the ballot harvesting case in Yuma, there is some insecurity in the way that we operate the mail-in voting. Now, I'm a realist. I realize that mail-in voting is not going away. But mm-hmm. at the same time, there should be some guardrails. Having thousands and thousands of ballots being mailed out to people who no longer live in the state, I don't think is something that we should continue to have happen. Whether or not it has occurred, right, there is the potential that those erroneously mailed ballots could be used mischievously.
Well, we got a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
So the first thing is you believe, and I agree, that it's a right, a responsibility, and accessibility should be made easier than harder. There should be same day registration. And by the way, you do have to, when you register as a voter, you have to provide certain things in order to be registered as a voter. Why do you have to provide additional ID when voting? You already have to go through that. If you've been approved as a voter, you know, passed all the things, you should be able to vote. And we have to make it more accessible, not less accessible. All right. And all of these laws are making it less accessible.
And the Justice Department is suing Chris Ackerley over Arizona's voting law. But why don't we talk about that after the break? It's the Buckmaster Show. It's our Monday political face-off. Chris Ackerley is with us representing Republicans and Bonnie Heidler representing Democrats. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. They're located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. Now, I'm always giving Copenhagen a free plug just because it's people know where they're located. They are not an advertiser on the program. So there they go. They got a free plug. But Moe's is right next door. Moe'sGallery.com. We've got Chris Ackerley with us, his first time on the Monday Political Face-Off. Chris, former state lawmaker. And about 3 months ago, he became the deputy in the Beth Ford's office at Pima County Treasurer. Bonnie Heidler here, the chairwoman of the Democratic Party of Pima County. We've been talking about early voting, voting by mail, and Chris and Bonnie, the Justice Department, now suing over Arizona's voting law that the governor signed into effect last March. And Chris, this new measure requires proof of citizenship to vote.
Well, citizenship is a requirement of voting. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that the issue is that that if you register to vote on an Arizona form, mm-hmm. you have to provide proof of citizenship. If you fill out the federal only form in the past, you just had to attest that you were a citizen. You didn't actually have to show anything to that effect. And I believe that the new measure was saying even for the, you know, even if you're registering only to vote in federal elections, that we're still going to require that proof of citizenship be provided. And so, my understanding is that the Justice Department is filing suit over that, and we'll see how that plays out. But personally, I think you should have to provide proof of citizenship to be able to vote.
Well, they do have to, like I said, to register, you have to provide it. And, you know, this goes against, of course, the National Voting Rights Act of 1993. It already has been voted. It has been eliminated in 2013 when it went to court, and they lost in that. So this is really asking, goes above and beyond the questions that you have to provide for citizenship, like where you were born. You know, you just have to provide proof that you are a citizen, and there are ways of doing that, of course. So this is just ridiculous to have this extra.
The extra step
for no real reason.
Well, Chris, just from the first segment, you think this is actually a pretty good deal.
Well, I think, and again, I think this comes into a lot of places. I think that there needs to be, as I said, voting is a right and responsibility, and we want to make sure that everybody who is eligible to vote votes. But there has to be some guide rails on the procedures. And whether it is showing a proof of citizenship to register to vote, showing ID when you're voting, or having definitive cutoffs for turning in mailing ballots or registering to vote prior to an election, I think those guardrails need to be in place to ensure that everybody can have confidence in the elections. When you wash away the rules, right, that govern those elections or make them up on the spot, it just doesn't lend confidence to the whole process.
I think the confidence issue has been a made-up issue by the Republicans, because as we have seen and as Republicans themselves have even said, this was one of the most secure elections that we had ever had. Again, you keep thinking there's something that may not be there, that there's fraud. Well, how do we know there isn't?
Something under the rug.
Yeah, something under the rug.
Then we need to lift the rugs up.
And we do lift the rugs up.
Just to make sure there's nothing underneath the rugs. Let's just lift them up.
You know, the fraud it didn't show, in fact, showed that Biden won by more. We keep doing more and more things that keep proving, yes, our elections are secure. We're chasing things that don't exist. We're chasing ghosts.
All right. To change the subject to an area that Chris Ackerley is very familiar with, education. He spent 22 years in the classroom. Chris, what did you think? The governor signing the most expansive school choice legislation in recent memory. Were you in favor of this?
Well, I don't know how I would have come down on the most recent vote that they took, but I was on the record and drew a very strong line on that as being opposed to ASA expansions when I served in the legislature. And I don't think fundamentally it is the right way to go.
Why?
I think this is where the conservative in me really, really comes out. What we have is essentially a very expansive government subsidy program for education now, if we do universal expansion of ESAs. And I also fear that once private schools become reliant on government money, the strings that are attached to it are not far behind, and we could end up destroying the very essence of what makes that private.
That's an interesting point of view. So you're saying from a purely conservative point of view.
From a purely conservative perspective. Not from an educator or a teacher perspective.
Sounds like you do not like the red tape paperwork that will be waiting on the other side of the door.
I think there are going to be some issues. That being said, one of the other things that I was a huge proponent of is we need in Arizona to have a serious conversation about how we fundamentally restructure the entirety of the education funding system, because it is so unbelievably complex in Arizona. In fact, I was noticing an article just this morning that they might actually have to go into another special session this summer to take care of an unintended consequence they had because of the way they juggled pieces of the budget in this last thing. Because it's unbelievably complex. And when you squeeze one side of the balloon, sure, something pops up on the other side. And we have patched that balloon so many times that we really do have to have a fundamental conversation. And so if there is a silver lining in the expansion of ESAs and it survives both the legal and the ballot challenges, is what it will do is it will, I think, lead us towards that broader conversation of, okay, how do we actually structure education funding so that it is responsive to student, parents, and community needs?
Bonnie Heidler, the school choice legislation, I assume you're not in favor of this expansion, and your reasons because it would degrade the public school system?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. First of all, it says that the focus is more on a student versus the system.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that you have to focus on the system. And we are way down there. I think we are now 50th. First thing is we don't pay our teachers enough. Second thing is we don't have supplies for our students who are in school. And the third thing is a lot of our schools are falling apart. They don't even have money for light bulbs in libraries, as an example. And if we all, remember, we did vote in Prop 208, which was to give money directly to the schools. And what the governor did was a workaround to ensure that that didn't happen. So schools are always put on the other side, whatever that side is. They're not addressed directly, and we're trying to fix something by having vouchers that I agree. I mean, I think the one thing Chris and I agree won't work.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Chris, will it work under any circumstances?
I don't know that it won't. That it won't work at all. My concern is that at the end of the day, we've put another patch on top of another patch, and we've created another mechanism, right? And we have to end up fixing that mechanism as well. But I take umbrage with that something as an educator, mm-hmm. with something Bonnie said that the focus needs to be on the system and not the student. No, it absolutely needs to be on the student. That's the reason that I went into work every day for 22 years, was to serve those students who were in my room. And yes, I was underpaid, and yes, I didn't have the supplies that I needed, right? And yes, yep. the classroom that I was in had holes in the ceiling and broken tiles on the floor. But at the end of the day, the reason that it's all there is for the students, so it has to be focused on the students.
And that's why the system has to work, is for the students. Exactly, because who suffers? Low-income students.
All right. Bonnie Heidler, great to see you, Bonnie. We'll see you August. And Chris Ackerley, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Actually have you back on the calendar in a couple of weeks. So I hope you both have a great day. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. They are conveniently located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, kind of midtown area. Check out their newly revamped website, moesgallery.com. We'll be back with Keith Rosenblum with our monthly border report right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Monday, July 11th. As they say, it's going to be a real scorcher. But hopefully we'll be getting some rain on the horizon, because the people over at Green Things are waiting for you right now, and so are all of the plants at Green Things. They would love a new home in your garden, and once we get some rain, they'll look really, really. They look great now, but they'll look hopefully a lot better after some rain. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. 13-acre site, also home to Zocalo and all the beautiful merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Green Things in their 52nd year. They are open daily. Give them a try for all of your gardening needs. We go beyond giving a try. He is one of our team. Keith Rosenblum, our border reporter with our monthly border report. He is on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Keith, how are you today?
Keith is doing very well, Bill. It's great to hear your voice.
Well, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to hear yours. The president of Mexico, and I know you check in, if you can, every day to President López Obrador's news conference. He is fuming. He is really upset at Texas Governor Greg Abbott's plan to use state security forces to detain illegal immigrants. He's called that that move by the Texas governor vulgar and immoral.
President López Obrador has become like a lobbyist for Mexico. I guess he is the premier lobbyist for the country, but he spends so much time railing against U.S. foreign policy and against U.S. Senators and congressmen. But it actually, I learned more about the United States and our policies from listening to him every morning. And by the way, he was on, and I don't ever be tentative about that. I don't miss a word the man says. And this morning he was, prior to leaving for Washington, he was also at his morning press conference, as usual, railing against the United States. A lot of it is, I think he's found that he has support for doing it. People in Mexico like waking up and railing against the United States. I have relatives that do that, but they actually, it is the same way that we want to find boogeymen or, you know, enemies elsewhere. It just feels good, number one, to have someone that you can kick around elsewhere. So the United States is always there as a convenient model. And so it serves López Obrador to say to the Mexicans, look at these wretched people, look what they're doing next door, look at their mass shootings. Look at how easy it is to get a hit. And he's right, by the way, on a lot of issues. So it's hard to dispute that. But the man still, in year four, has more popularity than even yourself, Bill. He's in the 70% category of acceptance. And for someone in year four, where the Mexicans generally have turned someone into a pariah by that time, it's remarkable. What happens is that he enjoys that popularity. The thing is that the party doesn't. Morena, the PRI, is dissolving in front of everybody's eyes. That's the party that held power for, you know, eight decades. The PAN party is kind of the real opposition right now. And so the man himself is enjoying, again, but you have to remember that this is a guy who has given debit cards, Visa debit cards, to a huge part of the population. And the Mexicans have rarely seen that kind of stimulus in their own wallets. And so he's done it to enough people. And if you have a, if you preside over a country that, let's say, if it has a population of 125 million, a country that has 15 million to 20 million first world residents, 30 or 40 million second world residents, and 40 million or whatever third world residents, you can understand, as in the U.S., what you and I have in common with someone who's a tobacco farmer or someone who's living in the hills of Appalachia or someone in, you know, Buffalo, New York. Mexico is all the more diverse. And so this president enjoys a phenomenal support from people, but he enjoys it mostly from the poor and the uneducated, and that's a lot of Mexicans.
Keith, have we talked about this Visa card to everybody before? When you mentioned that, John and I were both sitting here going, whoa, what the heck is that about? Who got these cards?
Okay, well, the Visa cards are debit cards, and they're no different than the person in front of you at Fry's or Safeway who has a debit card now for their food stamp card. Remember that? Remember when people would be buying stuff in the supermarket?
Yeah.
And if they were using food stamps, they would take out those little, look like S&H or gold bond trading stamps,
mm-hmm.
and they would put them and hand them to the cashier. Well, we got rid of that a long time ago, right? We have a debit card. And so you can no longer roll your eyes or say anything or, you know, stigmatize the person who's kind of rude, but who's in front of you, who's buying stuff in the supermarket line.
Yeah.
Well, the Mexicans now they get cash incentives from their government every month or every other month. And so for the retirees, it's, I want to say, 6,000 pesos every 2 months, so the equivalent of $150 a month. And the peso, by the way, has been it's one of the most stable currencies in the world, probably the most stable. It's actually appreciated against the dollar in recent times. And the president, like Venezuela, has kept the price of gasoline low. The Mexicans are paying fully a third less than what we pay. So you can see where this guy has won over an awful lot of people through these populist techniques. The answer to your question is that those Visa cards are in the hands of students, people who have disabilities, and the elderly, starting at 65. And the amounts vary, but he's pledged to double the amount before, I think, in like 2 years. He's enshrined also in the Constitution your right to those pension things like Social Security. So it's not simply something that's going to take place in his administration, but will actually be codified in the Constitution.
So they don't have Social Security. You said something about the equivalent of $150 U.S. each month for older people, say presumably over 65. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
That's correct. That's correct. And that's on top of, I mean, people still like in the U.S., you still have your own pension fund, right? So if you put in 20 or 30 years at a maquiladora, you still have a right to a pension. That's separately. They have the equivalent of a 401k, something you invest in. But an awful lot of people who don't have money first of all, they don't have the retirement funds themselves, and they have no safety net whatsoever. And so this particular stipend has saved a lot. It probably made a huge difference in a lot of people's lives. Students didn't have it before. And what Lopez Obrador does is at every press conference, this is the way that he handles this, 5 days a week. Last week he went as much as 3 hours. You know what I did? My day like started and ended with listening to Lopez Obrador.
He speaks for 3 hours?
He goes 3 hours. No, it's fabulous. For people, I've known people who didn't speak Spanish at the beginning of the press conference, and at the end they were fluent. And the topics, and half the reporters aren't reporters. They're like shills. They're people who are, it would be as if everybody at a presidential, you know, at a Biden press conference, if everybody came from some, you know, a vanity website.
Central casting.
It's very much like the Star Wars, I'll date myself, but it's like the bar scene in the Star Wars movie with all these people asking bizarre questions. There's people asking about animal rights. And the president doesn't lose an opportunity to pontificate about things about which he knows nothing whatsoever. Most recently, he's rhapsodized. He's having a love affair with Ken Salazar, who's our ambassador to Mexico. And he waxes eloquent about Ken Salazar being a wonderful man, an honest man, a decent man, a family man, a man with, you know, Mexico in his heart. For it's like 15 minutes. I go make breakfast and come back, and he's finally finishing with Ken Salazar compliments. He's a bit, every so often, I mean, they don't deny admittance to like Proceso or Reforma or Universal to the mainstay press, but he hates them so much that he gives them very little time, and he'd rather deal with what we call the softball questions, you know, the ones that are easy to hit. And then he uses those to go off on tangents. I'll just tell you, the guy wants to be a DJ, Bill.
What?
Last week, twice, he plays like DJ Lopez Obrador. Last week, and the weirdest part is that I actually like the song that he played. He's just kind of thinking, and he says, hey, to his press chief, he says, hey, find that song by the Venezuelan guy. It's called, what is it called? It's called Basta, No Basta Rezar. Like, I didn't even know, I never even heard of that song in my life. It turns out it's by a Venezuelan folk troubadour from the 1960s.
And they started to play it? Did they play it?
They played it. They played it.
Oh, my gosh.
They played the whole thing. And it actually was quite interesting because, I mean, you can tell the song. The song is about how everybody prays, but it's not enough to pray. And then the lyrics to the song are, this is in Spanish, obviously, the guy's name is Ali Primera, who wrote the song. It's been done by other artists. But the words are, it's not enough to pray, da-da-da. And then, you know, because the poor are praying, and so is the pilot who's getting in his bomber to target the children of Vietnam. How's that for a protest song? From
so every
these are bizarre events. Yeah, that's why I so enjoy doing it.
It's really weird. So the shills in the audience. Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question.
Oh, that's not to happen. He plays other, and then he plays recordings of people. He'll say because he's divided the two, very much like Donald Trump. He divides the world into us and them, and there's no gray area. So if you're not, if you don't support what he calls the 4T, the Cuatro T, the fourth transformation of of Mexico since its founding, then you're against it. And the 4T, it would be too long to go into on your show.
Yeah, we need to take a break.
But if you don't join him, then you're nuestros adversarios. You are part of our adversaries. And he has Mexico believing that he's fighting against all odds. Even in year four, he's still criticizing the previous five presidents and basically saying they're to blame for all the ills of Mexico today.
All right. Let's take a break right here. More with Keith Rosenblum on The Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations, they receive no government funding.
please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rieto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. If you're looking for a place to cool off, wow, who isn't? How about heading over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico? I can guarantee you it will be at least 10 degrees cooler, maybe more, because the elevation over there is same as Denver, about a mile high, like 5,500 feet. Look at that, 75 degrees. John just pulled up on the screen there, weather at midday, and a rain shower. They're getting all the rain. I'm telling you, they've had 4 to 5 inches over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, while we've had, like, what, maybe one thunderstorm here in the Tucson area. Southwestnewmexico.org to find out where to stay. There's some great places to stay and lots to do. Only about a three-hour drive over to Silver City. Let's continue now with Keith Rosenblum with our Border Report. Monthly visit with Keith, longtime border reporter, one-time congressional aide to Congressman Jim Colby. And I was thinking about when you were with the congressman, I think it was back in the mid-90s. Remember, Keith, when that first drug tunnel was uncovered in Nogales, what a huge story that was? I mean, it was just like, wow, a drug tunnel. Now, I guess they call it drug tunnels built Chapo style. They're very common. In fact, they just found a couple more in Nogales.
Yeah, I remember Jim telling us, Keith, I'm so disappointed that you and staff were the people that built that tunnel. This is why the wall, I actually spent a couple of hours one day reading about technology to detect underground movements. And there's a whole world of technology, you know, when it comes to earthquakes and things like that. And there was, I think, an Israeli technology that could detect movements in a certain way, but you know, there's that line about show me a 30-foot wall and I'll show you a 31-foot ladder or something like that.
Yeah.
And going underground, I mean, I've seen the tunnels and they're beautiful. They can be built. I think they can be built with no detection whatsoever at ground level. I think once you go down, if you've got solid ground, I think that it was like, I don't know, 3 or 4 yards, you can go down and be undetected. And you can end up at a house. I went to see the first tunnels in Naco and Douglas,
mm-hmm.
and they're a joy to see. They're built beautifully. Like, I mean, joy to see. It makes you think. Have you ever been on the Bisbee the Copper Queen tour?
Yeah,
it's like that. You go into a really nice area. It's a little bit cramped, but you can get things in and out. And the methodology is so good. That we're never, no matter what we do, if we try to enforce things at the ports of entry, then people go underground. They'll come. The drone technology is going to be fantastic. They've now got that blimp in downtown Nogales that the CBP just put up with no fan. They didn't even tell the city they were putting it up, and it went up last week. It's this monstrous thing now that's hovering over Nogales, about a mile north of the border. It's the most unsightly thing in the world, by the way. I mean, like, really, you're going to go have a nice Nogales day, and there's this thing in the air, this what do you call it, a hovercraft over the house.
Do they call that the Hindenburg 2?
It is. That is what this horrible what this thing is. So in the end, but the good thing is we started this conversation a few minutes ago talking about how great it is to have scapegoats, you know, how López Obrador can focus on the U.S. and all the ills that we have so that Mexicans can feel better about themselves and just a moment of pomposity. And, you know, and you may have this miserable existence, but look what's happening next door with the United States. And that when it comes to these things at the ports of entry, you can if we'll go by sea. We'll figure out some way. The emphasis here, the United States has this unsolvable appetite for drugs. Until we're able to deal with the social, I do not remember any Chinese person or Colombian person or Honduran anybody ever threatening the Rosenblums that if you don't inhale this or digest that or smoke this or, you know, snort that, that we're going to kill you. No one does that. We have a problem that's intractable. We were too stupid to learn from Prohibition. And so somehow that we wind up talking about technologies to keep a drug out that we want. We should probably be thanking the Chinese and the Mexicans and others for making these things cheap enough that it doesn't make us turn on one another to come up with the money to go support a habit. I know that sounds really perverse, but I think it's probably the libertarian take on this issue. We have no reason to even be worrying about enforcement. That's why I voted years ago for Gary Johnson of New Mexico, because the guy was almost a single, this is in Obama's second term, because he said, let's just end the drug war. It's not worth it. We should have learned from Prohibition.
By the way, I looked this up, these drug tunnels, and by the there are at least, let's see, just this year, just the last 2 months, 14 tunnels, and the technology is so sophisticated, they're all at approximately 25 meters below the ground. So I guess they have figured out that's the sweet spot to build these things.
Yeah, and so it's a good thing we have that blimp, right? It's a good thing that we can look down and not see anything at all that's happening 8 meters below the surface. In the end, Bill, the key is for you and other people to say, I'm going to stop taking all these methamphetamines. I'm going to figure out some other way. You know, I'm going to go enjoy my club soda or some chocolate instead of because this is a problem. This is I hate to say this, is no different than banning potato chips tomorrow because of the damage it does to society. It's an absurd. That's why, as a reporter, I could never follow the drug war because I've always considered any life lost or any dollar spent on it to be a horrible waste of money, period, end of discussion on that one. And I'm glad I didn't because it just was – and that's – even today, the mafias, no matter what people say, a lot of Mexican political system is decided based on – and the mafias have moved from drugs, which don't produce as much, I think, as they used to, you know, per capita – into things like avocados and limes and simply charging a protection fee like we did, you know, like used to happen in, I don't know, for all I know it happens in Tucson now, but I know that it happened in Cleveland, New York, Pittsburgh, you know, Newark, those places where the mob would do an analysis of what your income was and you'd pay 10% as protection money.
All right. How many war on drug incarcerations have there been since Nixon was president? Probably a bunch of them. They just don't call it war on drugs.
What a bogus thing. Yeah. The war on drugs. The war on drugs. Someone should have said right away, Mr. President, that's an abuse of English. A war requires an external foe. And you are declaring a war on the appetites of your sons and grandsons and everybody else. There's no such thing.
Okay, Keith Rosenblum, always good to have you back with us on the program, and try to stay as cool as possible, and I know you
will.
Join
me one morning, Bill Buckmaster, you and your staff, join me one morning on listening to a presidential press conference, and you might also learn about Venezuelan troubadours from the 1950s.
Well, I learned about it today, and that's why I'm in the business, to learn something every day. Thanks, Keith.
My pleasure.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We have a very busy show planned in about 23 hours. We always like to bring in for his monthly visit Will Humble, the former Arizona Health Department director. We get a lot of response to Will. People love to hear him talk. Get an update usually on the latest incarceration. The latest version of COVID. He'll have those numbers for us. Have a great afternoon, everybody.